While we're waiting for these questions, let me just mention to you that some people may feel here in this room that we've been a little bit harsh towards the Church of Scientology. I would like you to know that there is a continuing, ongoing, and cordial relationship between us and most of the gentlemen in here. Not only that, the Church of Scientology in Washington, D.C. has written me in the last month two additional letters requesting that I buy more books, take some courses. So, you know, it's all, you know, we try to keep on a friendly
table. Okay, so let's start with some questions here. The first one is, since Stagnant links to sites positive towards Scientology, have you asked the Church of Scientology to link to sites critical of them? Their representatives are here. Would they ask their organization? I think maybe I can answer that one. I have to say that I don't think Scientology would be very interested in linking to any sites critical. Scientology doesn't even want their members, you know, they want their members putting the net name, as it's called, onto their computer so that they cannot go to any of the critical sites on the internet. So it's a little unlikely that would happen.
I used another German citizen's tool developed called Zines Link Sleuth. And I used it to analyze the main Church of Scientology website. And of the 10 or 15,000 links, there was zero to any identifiable sites of criticism. And I've spoken to representatives, and they said specifically, well, why should we expose ourselves to these lies and theta, as they call it? So the answer is no. I mean, you check in the Scientology, but you don't check out.
Okay. Next question. Why was Stagnant rated, and what was the result of the raid? Bob, I think maybe you should answer that question.
Stagnant was rated back in 95. I think May and June, Bob Penny and Larry Wallersham were rated, and in August, Arnie Lermo was rated. They were three directors of Stagnant. They Stagnant was rated because Scientology claimed that FactNet was violating its copyrights by putting up on its website material that belonged to the Church of Scientology. And, you know, they convinced the federal judge that, yes, indeed, this is what was happening, and the federal judge gave a writ of seizure. He allowed these computers and scanning equipment, printers. I mean, you know, this was not just, you know, a hard disk that was taken. This was all of the computer equipment, all of the things that you could use to see anything on a computer equipment, like a monitor, to input something into a computer, like a scanner. You know, there was nothing left. Every drawer in these people's homes was gone through by the Church of Scientology. You know, whether it was, you know, whether it was a sock drawer, an underwear drawer, every closet, you know, the basement, you know, everything, just to find every piece, every floppy disk, whatever. Now, this was a pure act of intimidation. It remains to be seen. It is at trial, not at trial, but it's in the court system as to whether there was any copyright violations. In fact, it's still yet to be determined whether Scientology had any copyright ownership of the material in question. But the raid was done in order to intimidate and harass and try to shut down FactNet. Pure and simple. Now, Arnie Lerma was a director of FactNet, and Arnie Lerma, in his individual capacity, as far as the court case, I believe, resulting from his conviction, he was, in fact, convicted of copyright infringement, posted Scientology's sacred scriptures onto the Internet. These were posted, these were actually documents that were in an open court file for 2 years in the state of California. Anybody in the world could go into this court and look at these documents. The Washington Post, when they reported about Arnie Lerma's raid, went to the courthouse and got copies of, they legally got, a few days after Arnie was raided, copies of the documents that he posted. Now, at the time I said that, you know, I thought Artie Lerma was wrong in terms of breaking the law to post those scriptures of Scientology, if in fact they did own them. But I personally believe that he did the right thing from a moral standpoint. You know, I think that his posting of that material has done a lot to educate people about what Scientology, what the core of Scientology really is. People have actually been interested, as Grady said, in this sort of rich cosmology, this rich story that Scientology has. So people have taken a look at it, and people have said, this needs to be looked at further. And media has done more to look at it. And that's my answer.
Grady, this might be a good question for you to answer. Has Scientology funded or been involved with the restrictions on PGP and remailers, type 1 and 2?
No, they have now affected PGP. I've been a technical contributor to that. In fact, PGP is Pretty Good Privacy. It's a program developed by a fellow named Zimmerman back in the early 90s, and has proven to be uncrackable even by federal agencies and national agencies. During my litigation, in fact, the Scientologist seized my computer archive disks on my safety deposit box and spent months with technicians of a special master, right, just for the purpose of trying to crack them. They were unsuccessful. So apparently the vaunted operating thing powers are not sufficient to to factor in large prime numbers, so presumably they'll be revealed on a higher level.
Okay. Yes. Here's a question for you. Regarding the Scientologists in the room, what are they thinking and what are they doing?
They're zero set powers now. No, I can only imagine that they're extremely uncomfortable and they're bitter by what they're hearing here, and they're upset because, you know, they feel like they're being trespassed against in some way. But my personal feelings about them is about that situation is these are the people that we're actually trying to help, you know. I guess in a morbid way, it's a good thing that they're here because at least they can find out the truth and actually connect with other people in the world and not look at them as raw little pieces of meat walking around waiting to be barbecued by Scientology, you know. And they need help, you know. And every little, you know, and the more they interact with people, the better. Because in Scientology, in 1979, L. Ron Hubbard knew that there was a problem with the media, and he canceled television for anyone in Scientology's paramilitary organization, Sea Org. You cannot go into a staff member's room and find a television. They don't have newspapers, and they really don't have radios either to listen to news and this kind of stuff. Because finding out the truth will empty that place out like a roach motel on fire. they would be gone. So, you know, I'm sure that they're feeling uncomfortable, you know, and I empathize for them. I wouldn't want to be in a place where people are laughing about what I believe in, even if I am kind of stupid about it. So, you know what I mean? But they need help, and they're going to get help. And they'll be helped someday. Someday they'll just wake up just like I did and say, my God, what was I thinking?
Thanks, Jeff. The next question, would it be possible to meet with representatives of Scientology to discuss the issues of the critics in the presence of an independent moderator? I think Bob probably ought to answer that question because he tried that.
I do think it will happen. Eventually, Scientology's going to be hit over the head so much that their arrogance is going to have to stop, and the people who are in charge of the Church of Scientology right now, David Miscavige particularly, will be kicked out. I don't believe that his future in the Church of Scientology is long. You know, I think there is too much going on in the world that is detrimental to Scientology, that at some point in time Scientology is going to have to sit down seriously with somebody like AFF, InfoCult, and go through some of the the basically the ground rules as to what, well, like we heard this morning, you know, you basically have to go through the ground rules and agree, okay, let's be reasonable here. And if you're not willing to be reasonable, people are going to categorize you and continue to attack you in ways that make your life extremely difficult. So I believe they will eventually be forced into it.
Okay. Next question. Regarding lawsuits, has anyone explored the possibility of going on the offensive and suing Scientology and other cults on behalf of ex-members for violations of their civil rights? Unless somebody else really wants to take this one, I'll answer this. I have to say that, as you probably know, people who criticize Scientology publicly are subjected to quite a barrage of intimidation and harassment. I've been a target, Bob Minton has been a target, Grady has, Jesse has, there are a number of people who have. And it's my, one of their tactics is a most amazing level of slander and libel. And it's my personal feeling that one of the big reasons for this is to try to bait someone into suing the Church of Scientology. And the reason I say that is because Scientology has really virtually an unlimited budget for litigation. And for someone who's speaking critically against them to basically get to a point where they're being baited so badly that they do finally sue Scientology, I think it's probably one of the worst things that someone could do, because it has happened a number of times, and invariably what ends up happening is the person is driven to the brink of, and over the brink of bankruptcy financially through harassment litigation tactics. You know, Scientology can bring to bear 15, 20 attorneys, as many law firms as they want against someone. Grady can tell you, he told you a little bit about that. And basically what has invariably happened when a critic has tried to sue Scientology is they have been forced to settle on extremely unfair terms, and always including a gag order and signing documents in which they are absolutely forced into a position where they can never say anything critical, write anything critical, speak to anyone else who's critical of Scientology in any way. So it has not been my feeling that civil litigation would be of any value whatsoever for me. And I think there are many other avenues that, yeah, you can't dismiss it. There are many other avenues that are more useful and more effective in curtailing the abusive practices of this organization. Yes.
Morris Wallerstein is a classic example of what civil litigation against Scientology is like. He won a $20 million judgment 18 years
ago.
$30 million judgment 18 years ago. He has yet to collect a penny. And he's been in litigation ever since, still is in litigation, and probably three more years at the very least of litigation as he has before a resolution of that lawsuit will take place.
Yeah.
Stacey, can I add a comment?
Yes.
Because the question also related to other cults.
Yes.
And there have been several former members who have sued their cult successfully on the ground of intentional infliction of emotional distress. Mm-hmm. The problem is similar, however, to what you talked about. Unless they have very substantial resources, it does take a lot of money. And one of the things we would love to do is figure out a way to set up a fund that would be available for former members so that they can do that. I would also remind you that Gabe Cazares, the former mayor of Clearwater, successfully sued Scientology.
Okay, next question is for Rod. It's regarding the filters. Are these related to filters talked about re-porno on the internet?
Some on the internet. There are two pieces, two entirely unrelated things referred to as filters. One is the filter that I described that was distributed to Scientologists to prevent accessing of critical material through email, through web browsing, IRC, which is a chat system. It filters at a number of levels. An entirely unrelated set of filters is a pattern that has been identified in the forged messages that are filling the newsgroup All Religion Scientology. It really makes it impossible to read, especially on America Online and some other systems. And this pattern can be included in your news reading software, and it can basically mark these forged items as if you've already read them, and you can carry on with reading the materials that are important and are unique. And actually, the forged items are actually kind of humorous. At times, they seem to have latched onto a cooking group, so we get a lot of recipes, a lot of professional football, so we get discussion of John Elway. But the one that troubles me the most, which I think is probably intentional, is the discussion from neo-Nazis, and that is to see your name attached to a message that describes killing Jews and things like that is a very disturbing thing. To see a recipe for meatloaf is not quite as upsetting.
But I understand that there's been some investigation into the source of these things, and that some progress has been made.
Well, there's several things that people are doing to stop the forgeries. One is based on the same pattern to cancel those articles. And many systems will then pretend that they never existed. Not all systems will do that. America Online will not accept cancels, so you have to read them all. There's another piece of software that many internet providers run called the Spam Hippo. I don't know why it's called the Spam Hippo, but it also reduces the amount of spam. And also, people are trying to identify where this is being injected into the internet. It appears that they're using the at-home system, which is a cable modem system, and working with at-home in order to identify the source of the forgeries, because they're not any happier that their system is being abused than we are happy that our news group is being abused.
I believe the question relates to the type of software which is being installed in schools and libraries when you're talking about the filtering of the pornographic stuff.
Who asked the question?
It is related
is
to
it is related.
Yeah, I just wanted to know. He went over the filtering.
The filter is
fast. I just didn't know if it was. I didn't understand.
The filter is actually produced by Solid Oak Software, which is manufactures a cyber sitter software, which is designed for libraries and parents to be able to control information that would be available to minors in particular. And their set of filters is unusual in that they block information to extreme, or what they consider extreme religious groups, including the Church of Scientology. But this is a set of a code that was modified by Scientology, licensed, I believe, legally, and they've modified it to accept an entirely different set of words, rather than pornography words or cult-related words. They've inserted Xenu and Brady Ward and Rod Keller, and that's the source of that software.
Okay. One more question. How can we obtain legal copies of the secret Scientology documents from Sweden? Brady?
I can't personally tell you how to obtain them. However, I know other people that probably will tell you how to legally obtain them. There's one website which probably can get that information. It's at Xenu.net. www.xenu.net, and I think that page will have instructions for obtaining it legally in Sweden.
I think you have to have Swedish kronor.
Well,
cash,
but yeah. The usual bureaucratic, you know, you have to show up.
Okay, well, that's all the questions. I really appreciate you coming to our panel this afternoon, and it's really been great to talk to all of you. Thank you.